We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Instant wealth and success. You know, others hope someone they know leaves them an inheritance and soon. I love you, but. You know what I'm saying? Like, people want to fall into good things. Unfortunately, people are you know, they're looking for a quick way to gain wealth rather than a long way to build wealth. And substitute the word wealth with happiness. A lot of people are looking for quick fixes to feel happy rather than maintaining a life of happiness. A quick fix. You know, but a healthy life isn't going to come from a scratch-off tactic. I think it's important for you to realize that. And you know, people that want the healthy relationships and families and finances and lives, they need to realize that God has set principles in place in which he blesses. Say principles. Not the one that you were scared going to see because you were a, you know, class clown. I'm talking about the things that we decide to live by because there's a cause and effect to it. There's a sowing and reaping to it. You know, today I want to talk to you about habits. I want to talk to you about habits. It's what separates a healthy and happy person from the rest. And we see time and time again in Scripture where it continues to show that God actually, he blesses and favors the principle. He blesses and favors the person that's willing to sow and wait to reap, not looking to reap someone else's field. Are you getting this? And so I've heard it said, we first make our habits, then our habits make us. And so you don't become healthy overnight or simply by hanging around healthy people become healthy, right? But by choosing to apply the healthy habits that oftentimes healthy people are doing. That's how you get healthy. And you know, if I had an apple and an apple seed, which anyone that knows, apple pie, you'd probably see me around apples, maybe not as much, unless it's apple season. I love Macintosh. Or a Honeycrisp is what I really like. Yeah, Julie knows. But if I was to take an apple seed and just place it next to an apple, would that eventually make that seed grow? I mean, no, you have to understand, this is a really healthy apple, though. It's super shiny. Would it eventually make that seed grow? Of course not. Because we understand that in order for an apple to grow, the seed has to be planted and go through a transformation process. Yet sometimes people think they can just come to church and hang around healthy people and that they'll somehow become healthy without going through a process. And then what? They blame God when they don't see health. But God, I have better friends today. And God's saying, but what about the process? I want to talk to you about the process. It must be planted. That seed, it only becomes what it was designed to be by going through a transformation process. In the same way, our transformation also comes through a process. Check out what Romans 12 says. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Look straight. Don't be like that person on my left. I don't know how holy they're being these days. So this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, a lot of us have heard this scripture so many times when we talk about it and over and over and over again, but there's this thing where I just can't shake it. It says that we will be transformed through a process. We don't like process. We like instant. Any foodies in the house know that there's rarely anything good when it was instant. But yet we think our life can be good with instant. And God goes, that's not how it works. Even your transformation is going to come through a process. The question is whether we're willing to go through the process. A transformation takes place by renewing the old. Say renewing. See, last time I checked, you weren't just going to be able to have a lobotomy when you became saved. Whole new brain, new start. No, it's a renewing process. The Bible says all become new because I am seen in a different light and my eternity is different because God said so. So that's new. Anyone excited about that? But otherwise, I'm the same old man unless I renew. Just because I come to church does not make me healthy. Just because I have healthy friends does not mean I apply their healthy habits. Some people in here, you feel like, man, my life has not changed all that much over the years of being in church, but it's because you haven't changed. You just keep coming next to healthy apples, but the seed hasn't been planted. You haven't worked through the process. And so listen, how do I create healthy change in my life? This is what I want to talk to you about today. And so today, create a habit of H, honesty. A habit of honesty. Not being honest every once in a while, but being honest. And this is honesty about you being honest about your position, about your situation, about your struggle, because you won't get past it if you're not honest about it. Did you get that? If somebody doesn't understand exactly where they stand, they're never going to move forward. How do you see? Have you ever tried to shave without a mirror? As a guy, that can be very dangerous. I remember the first time I had to in a camping trip. I remember thinking, like, how am I going to get this right? You're like, how? I don't want to ask somebody, hey, how, you know, higher or lower, but you do need someone else's eyes on your situation. And so when I'm honest about my life and about my situation, the only way I know I'm right is if somebody who knows me well has the ability to speak too. So a lot of people, they don't know what their situation is because they've silenced anybody that was going to speak anything other than good about their life. In fact, all of their friends are only friends because they're used to wearing a muzzle. So think about your friend circle. When's the last time somebody had the freedom to say something that maybe you wouldn't like, but they know you'd want to know? See, they would never know that they could do that unless you welcomed it. People aren't going to just step out and tell you things if they think there's going to be heavy resistance towards it. Good friends will try, but the great friends, they're the ones that you've also allowed them to do that. And so when I talk about honesty, you honestly can't be honest unless someone who knows you has the ability to critique what you say. If my wife wasn't able to speak about my blind side, if my wife wasn't able to speak to me, if your BFF isn't able to talk to you about things that they're noticing because you asked them because you actually want to know because you're trying to be honest with yourself, if you don't get to that place, you're not going to even know what to change. Honesty. Proverbs says this, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. See, I'm not trying to conceal my struggles, although no one wants it to be aired out in public, right? But what I've come to realize is if I continue to try and conceal that which needs to change, not only am I never going to change, but I'm also not going to live under the blessings of heaven. If I want God's favor in my life, then there are principles I need to live by. But you got to be honest about that. Are you getting this? And so, honesty. Create a habit of honesty. The next thing, oh, by the way, we're doing, what do you call those, little acrostic habits? What's it called? Someone got a real name for that? Yeah, no one else knows either. Unless I said it was right. I'm just really smart, wicked smart around here. The next thing, create a habit of asking. And I know I just touched on that a little bit, but I want to go even further. Ask God to help. Oftentimes we find ourselves in a situation, and as long as it's manageable, we're not really talking to God about it until all of a sudden the stuff hits the fan and we have no other, you know, there's no other option but to bring God into it. And at that point, it's kind of like, you know, the Bible talks about the potter working the clay. And as long as the clay is moldable, he'll work it. But there's a point where sometimes he can't work it anymore and he's got to smash it and start over. The smashing process is not fun. No one wants that for their life. That's why it's important for us to continue to ask God about our situation. Ask God for help. Be open, not just to, not just honest with our friends, but to be open and honest, asking God to help us in our situation. But not just to help get me out of the situation. Help me see how I got in the situation. Because if I can't understand how I got in the situation, guess where I'm going to be next month? In the situation. But that's me being honest, understanding that it wasn't everybody. You need to understand it's not that you can't blame the devil for everything. Like, no, you just made some bad decisions. One after the next, after the next. Now you're here and you're asking God to help you get out, but understand how you got in. I got to ask God, God, why am I here anyway? Because there are some times when I read the book of Job and I see things, they never got themselves in those situations, but they certainly kept asking God. Something that blew my mind when I was down at this conference was this little thought. It was a big thought. There's a pastor named Charles Niemann, and actually he lost his lifelong wife years ago, and he said, I never asked God why. I thought, how's that even possible? Of course you ask God why. And he was talking about how to not give in and not burn, you know, to burn the white flag. You never give up regardless of what's happening in your world or regardless what happens in your life. And he just said, what happened to her is between her and God. I don't have the right to know. And I thought, what a strong, and we feel as though anything that touches our life just a little bit, we have the right to know. But the reality is that's between the Creator and his creation. We don't get 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon to learn. And it was just something that, look, God, I need you to tell me about me, not about why someone else did something to me or about why something else happened to someone that affected me. I need you to understand what's going on in my world through your eyes on my life. Ask God to help. Ask a friend to keep you accountable. Again, we're kind of going back to the honesty factor. If you don't have a friend that has the ability to talk to you about what's going on in your world, now look, if the person oversteps, just tell them, yeah, you're not Dr. Phil. You know, like, I want you to be open with me, but that was a little too far. And help them understand some boundaries. I mean, there's some people you don't want to be open because they don't have any boundaries. Why are they so close to you? A different question. But asking God to help. Look what it says in 1 John. It says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So my thought is, I'm asking God not just why I'm here, but when I understand what I did to get myself here half the time, more than half of the time, I want his forgiveness for it so that I can get out of it. Because here's the thing, I may be hurting today and not hurting tomorrow because the process has gone through its course, but it doesn't mean I'm forgiven because the process ended. Some people just assume because they go to church that they're forgiven by God. God is looking for a relationship in which we have a conversation with him and where we understand our fault and we ask him to forgive us and he's righteous to do so. But when it comes to me making new, because we're talking about creating new habits, oftentimes the habits that people are worried about the most are actually sin. And you go, I don't know about sin. Well, actually, you're coveting that thing, so it becomes sin. Well, I didn't physically do. No, actually, it's sin because it has become it's taken the place of God in your life. So when I'm talking about changing our habits so that we can see a healthy life, you have to consider, what am I doing that's unhealthy? And then I've got to go to the source and ask for forgiveness. Okay, look what James 5 says. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So this is interesting. When I'm asking, I'm not only asking God to forgive me. If I've wronged somebody else, I'm asking them to forgive me. And then I'm asking them to help me because it shows this multitude, this group, you know, first of all, hopefully you have, if you're in a group of friends where you're the only leader and you're the highest level of morality or whatever you want to call it, you need a bigger circle. You need people that you're trying to pull from, not just pull up. You know what I'm saying? And so, but when it comes to creating new habits, we have to not only be honest, but we've got to ask, okay? The next thing, if we're creating a new habit, create a habit of battling. In order to change a habit, there's going to be a fight. You know, it takes 21 days to start a new habit, and it takes just about as long to actually end a habit. And so the fact is, it's going to take some time, but it's not just the 21 days, it's what transpires in the 21 days. Because whatever the habit is in your life that you're trying to break, it's comfortable. It's already in your life for a reason. You've somehow made it comfortable in your world, correct? But you're going to have to learn to battle. You're going to have to learn to battle your flesh. You're going to have to learn to battle your emotions. You're going to have to learn to battle your negative mindsets. You're going to have to learn to battle voices outside and inside, right? If you're going to see change in your world, you got to be ready to battle for. It's got to be something worth fighting for, isn't it? And so it tells me this in 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean? It means that there's a good fight of the faith that's worth fighting. But it means you better own some boxing gloves because you're going to fight. It's not in my nature to be a fighter. I'm a lover. The Bible tells us we've got to learn to fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So every time I find myself in a position where I realize this is a habit that needs to be broken, I've got to understand to put on my big boy pants, to put on the boxing gloves, and begin to fight for that very thing I confessed. Jesus, I said you were Lord of my life, and this wants to say otherwise. So this has to go because you're going nowhere. So I'm going to have to fight for the very thing that I confessed. Are you getting this? Because we just go, no, the two can just live. I'll just keep asking for forgiveness every day. You don't give in and be so weak. I'm going to fight for the very thing I confessed. God, you're good, and your word says that with you all things are possible. This thing wants to say otherwise, but I'm willing to fight. Just help. I got to battle. Some of us have been battle tested. Some of us, we think we're battle ready. Everyone has a battle plan until they get punched in the face. And then they question everything about their plan. We've got to be ready and willing to fight for change in our life and in our world. I'm not talking about people. Don't think about the people that you want to fight. But you can fight giving in to the people. Be willing to battle. The next thing, create a habit of introducing healthy habits, healthy friends, healthy activities to reinforce growth. So here's the thing, you know, most people don't like change. That's what statistics say. They're not good with change. And so because they don't like change, it actually makes it harder for them to change. Why? Because a lot of the reasons they are where they are is because of the activities, the people, the things that they continue to have as just normalcy in their life. If I'm going to actually see a change in my habits, which is going to be a change in my life, then I have to be willing to continue to introduce new. When the Bible says, going back to that scripture in Romans, that the transformation comes from renewing the mind, do you realize that's like continually rewashing? Reintroducing the new and the clean and the fresh to wash away the dirty, the old. So if I want to see a healthy habit, if I want to see a change in my life, then I've got to be willing to continue to reintroduce health into my world, even though it's new and it's different. I need it. That's why I'm here. And so if I'm going to see that, I have to be the one that decides I'm going to, even though I'm more of an introvert, I'm going to get myself out there to find healthier friends. I'm going to choose to say no, even though I don't like fighting. I'm going to choose to say no to the things I used to say yes to because they were commonplace and I just went because all my friends were there or all the things that I was comfortable with. But you're in the place because you were comfortable. In order to create the change, I've got to introduce new. Introduce the new things, the healthy habits. Healthy additives are necessary. Those that go and work out at gyms, what are they doing? They're oftentimes using things like proteins and vitamins and recovery shakes. They're introducing the thing that's needed to get better. And they're doing it in a way, you know, people that are looking to gain muscle, they're looking to introduce new things to quickly recover from the struggle and the stress so they can go back and create more struggle and stress. You ever notice that? Maybe you didn't, but that's what it's for. That's how you build muscles. They tear, you repair them. They tear again and get bigger, you repair them. They tear again and they get even bigger and you repair them. So the point is this. If I want to have more of a healthy life, there's going to have to be some tearing of some things and some repairing of some things and some renewing of some things and definitely some introducing of new things. It's a process. There's principle behind it. It's interesting. 2 Peter, it says this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory. So what? His divine power has given us everything we need. So when it comes to change, I can't say I don't have what I need. If it's in his divine power, it just means I need more of that in my world. Are you getting this? Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What does that mean? I can't escape those things because of his divine power. For everyone that just feels like there will never be a change, you have to understand it's because you're not tapping into the divine power that creates the change so that we don't fall under circumstances and situations, right? I mean, I'm reading this. Are you seeing this? But look what it says next. It says, for this very reason, yes? What reason? The reason that God gives us the ability to change for the sake of overcoming evil. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your, we're talking about additives in this moment, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness. Wait a minute, that was a lot of stuff. Introduce new. Bring in new. You can't just do what you were doing. You need more of this if you're going to win. You need more of that if you're going to be successful. You need more of this if you're going to be healthy. You need more of that if you're going to have good friends. Because don't you know, you attract what you respect. If you don't respect something in your life, it's going to be hard to find somebody that wants to hang with you if they respect the thing you don't. You attract what you respect, okay? But listen, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why on earth could we have a knowledge but yet be unproductive for Jesus? Unfortunately, the church has a lot of knowledge, yet they're still unproductive for Jesus. Why? Because we weren't called to just believe in Jesus. We were called to be disciples of Jesus. We were called to make a difference for Jesus. We were called to be a voice for Jesus. The Bible calls us ambassadors of Christ. What does that mean? Where I go on his behalf. For the reason I live is the reason to tell people who I live for. And so when I'm looking at this, all I know is that if I want new in my life, if I want to change my habits, if I want to have a healthier life, then I have to be willing to introduce new. I hope you're getting this. Okay, for this very reason, add to your faith. What additives are you putting in your life? We spend so much time. Have you ever seen that person in the grocery store looking at the back of the box? Like, you're like, where's that thing I need? And you're walking, you go down the aisle, and someone's reading a box, and you find the thing you need, and you're going back for the next thing. The same person's sitting there still reading that box. And you're like, what is it? Just buy it! You know, they're so worried about what they're putting in them. But the Bible says it's not what goes in us that makes us unhealthy. Jesus said that goes in your stomach and it goes to waste. It's what comes out of us that makes us unhealthy. What comes from our heart to our lips, what comes out of us is the very thing that makes us unhealthy. What's he saying? God's saying, be careful about what's going on between your ears and what's coming out of your mouth because that determines whether you're healthy or not. Remember, we're talking about wanting to change habits. We're talking about wanting a healthier lifestyle. We've got to understand that what we're adding in our world, it's important because that's the renewing. Are you renewing the old for the sake of old? That wouldn't be renewing. I guess it would just be, refreshing bad. It's hard to break bad if all you do is refresh with bad. If you take dirty clothes and keep washing it with dirty water, what's it do? Remains dirty, and you're just gross in the process. We're wanting to change our habits, right? Create a habit of time management. It will take more than you think to see the change that you want. It'll take more time than you think. However, in time, you'll look back and think, man, look how far I've come. But you have to understand, if you decided, we see it every January. Everyone all of a sudden has this new desire to get fit and to do this and to do that. And about a week or two, they go, what happened? I've been to the gym a few times. And nothing's changing. Forget it. I give up. Where's my fudge? You know, anything good is going to take time. I mean, other than accepting Jesus, which can happen in a moment, from there, everything else takes time. It's going to take time. It will take more than you think until you take the time to look at how far you've come. That's the way it is in life. People want instant results, but there are no success microwaves. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, I love what Zig Ziglar says. He says, there is no elevator to success. You have to take the stairs. Everyone wants it instantly. Everyone wants it now. Okay, God, my heart's right. Just take it from me. Everyone wants the miracle of the thing broken in their life. Well, and God can do that. But what I'll tell you is, not much is learned from that. I've heard of the miracles that come where literally one moment they were smoking and the next moment they had no desire to smoke. And thank God for the miracle, because it might have had to take that person that to be able to do it. But there was no growth in that moment. Yes, there was a breaking of a habit, but did you learn anything? Everyone wants that instant fix. They want the miracle, and God wants the growth. Because it's the growth that's going to sustain people. Do you remember when the people were in the wilderness and they begged God for to do something, and God's like, fine, I'll drop manna from heaven. And what happens? Eventually they were bored with manna, and they were like, this is no good. God, if you love us, why won't you give me this other miracle? And God's in it for the relationship. But one thing's for sure, he wants growth. I love my children, but I'm glad they're growing up. I'm glad I'm not still dealing with diapers. I'm glad I'm not still dealing with 2 and 3 a.m. morning bottle wake-up calls. I'm glad that now they'll listen to me and we can go to public places. You know? I'm glad that we can go out to eat and not look like a zoo. I'm glad, but here's the thing. God's glad you're his child, but he wants to grow up because he's sick of the zoo. He's like, at some point, the Bible says, at some point, you got to put away the milk so that you can eat solid foods. The only place I'm willing to allow myself to wear a bib is when I'm eating lobster. And that's called wisdom. So as with any other seed, it's going to take time for the fruit to show. So don't get frustrated because things aren't growing or happening as quickly as you'd like. Be thankful that it's actually happening. Be thankful that you're somewhere in the process. Be thankful that you're not where you used to be. But, you know, look around at the group that has grown around you. Most people, when they come into a church or a new church and they call it their home, it takes a little bit just to start finding connections and relationships. But you've got to put yourself out there to have those friendships. But guess what? When all of a sudden you find yourself surrounded with a new group of people, that they're jealous for your success, not of your success. They want to see you grow into all that God has for you and what he wants for you. All of a sudden you go, man, look at over this little bit of time, I have this new group of friends, and I've got this new situation. I feel like I've got wind in my sail, air to my back. Yeah? But it takes some time. Don't get frustrated because they're not growing as quick. Focus on what is happening in your world. Look what it says in Galatians. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So clearly, doing good for a long time is going to produce something. Doing good for a short time means we may never actually see the harvest of the blessing. People that decide, oh, I tried God and I left. Well, clearly you didn't try him long enough. The Bible says, taste and see that God is good. And obviously, when we talk about this, we're not meaning like, you know, like BJ's samples, you know. God already has weighed our hearts and he knows what our position is towards him. And that has a lot to do with whether he showed up or not. Somebody says, oh, I've read that book. You know, I've read the Bible. It's rubbish. And I'm like, well, if you clearly didn't ask the Holy Spirit to help you see what it was saying because you can't just read it like a novel. We've got to, if we want to see change in our life, we've got to be willing to understand time and manage it. All right, I'm going to wrap up with this one. S, sharing. If you want to create a habit, you're going to have to create a habit of sharing. Celebrate the small victories. You've got to share what's going on in your world. You know, oftentimes when someone makes a decision for Jesus, the very first thing we say here is, go tell somebody. Why? That's a victory in your life. You made a decision that actually, not only does it mean something, it shapes a future, it changes. You've begun the renewing process. The Bible says old has become new. It says all things have passed away, and behold, all things are coming new. It talks about this. So you've got to share it with somebody. That's what changes your story into a testimony. It actually gives, when you choose to share what God's doing in your world, it chooses to give God the glory for it, which creates another cycle in your life for God to do something new and fresh. It's like sowing seed again. A farmer understands what seed he's supposed to eat and what seed he's supposed to sow. And if he gets it confused, there's no harvest in the future. We've got to make sure that we are continuing to sow the seed of testimony and giving God the glory for everything he does, knowing that that is our future harvest. Knowing that if we give God glory now, we'll be able to have reason to give him glory later. Because if it's only about us being healthy without giving credit to the one that made us healthy, it ends the cycle. Why do you think God talks so much about sowing and reaping and about harvest? He's talking about principle. He's talking about what it takes to continue to create a cycle. We have to understand habits are the same thing. If we choose the right habits and we double down on the right habits and we choose to put God first in our world and we choose to make the right decisions, whether it becomes to the moment in which we're sitting down at a meal or whether it comes to the moment when we're on a date, making the right decisions changes everything. But you want it to be muscle memory. You want to do it. It takes 21 days to start a new habit because it takes that long for your brain to go, okay, this is what we're doing now. Don't give up, but when you're seeing the victory, share it with somebody. It will remind you of how far you've come, and it will stir others to grow while you also give God the glory through your story. First Chronicles says this, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Now, you may say, Pastor Chad, not much has happened in my life yet. What if you were to... If you know you're here and you know you started back here, even though that doesn't seem like a far distance, if you had made other decisions and you swung that thing this way, what has he saved you from where you could easily be right now? See, we look at where we are, not where we could be if not for the grace of God. Come on, we got to give God glory for the things he's already doing in our world. We got to share that with somebody. When I think about the Bible, when I think about all those people God changed their life, whether it be the miracles of the blind man, whether it be the demon-possessed man, being all the demons being cast out into the pigs, and what happened to the pigs? They ran down and drowned and whatnot. But the demon-possessed man, he ends up going and basically preaching to 10 different cities, the Decapolis. He goes and preaches what Jesus did. He went from being demon-possessed one day to preaching to 10 cities. That challenges my faith because I know that God has done something amazing in every one of our lives, but how often do we speak of it? We've got to learn to share. As I wrap up here, listen, motivation is what gets you started, but habit is what keeps you going. It's the habit that keeps you going. I don't know what habits you need to change, but I know that it's our everyday process that creates our future. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? God, I want to change my process. I want to change my habits. I want to focus on where you've called me to be, and I want to make sure that the things I'm doing are creating the stepping stones to my future.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.